the previous installment, we began the tale of Rabborach Vyazna, a young lad with a brilliant mind, who at the early age of 13 began to attend out-of-town yeshivas. At the age of 15, decided that he'd make his own living from his own hands and not come on to the help of anybody else, and how about at the age of 16, hearing that in Brisk there was a great sage, Rav Shlomo, who not only was known for his Talmudic scholarship, but also for his personal conduct and his manner of behavior, something which Rabborach was seeking to emulate because he was trying to get beyond mere Talmudic studies and expand his horizons Jewishly and in Avodas Hashem, the service of God. Rabborach Vyazna came to Brisk, and we concluded the last time with how Rabborach was one day immersed in the library of the yeshiva, studying Reishis Chochma, when Rav Shlomo, the holy Rav Shlomo, walked in and asked the young lad who he was and what he was studying. Baruch replied, "I am Baruch of Vyazhen," for this was the name by which he was called at the yeshiva, although in fact he had originated from Ilya. Baruch also told the Goin what sefer he was studying. Rav Shlomo looked thoughtful, but said nothing. All day, Baruch felt himself to be under the influence of his meeting with the great Goin, whom he had not seen until that day. That evening, Baruch received yet another surprise. The shamash of the yeshiva, Rabbi Avram Shol, called Baruch aside and told him that the Goin wished to see him, but he was not to mention the fact to anyone. Baruch became very excited and wondered what was the reason for this summons. When he entered Rav Shlomo's room, the Goin asked him many questions about his studies, his thoughts, and his ambitions in life. Rav Shlomo examined Baruch as to the extent of his knowledge in Talmud and its commentaries of Rashi and Tosfos. Rav Shlomo also tested Baruch in several mesechtes, several tractates, Baal Peh, and Baruch could see, by heart, and Baruch could see that the Goin was pleased with the result. Rav Shlomo then put some personal questions to Baruch as to whether he was supported by the general fund of the yeshiva, or whether he ate his meals out at the homes of benevolent families, as many of the students did. He also asked him where he slept. Baruch explained to the Goin that it was his principle to be entirely independent of any person's help, so he worked to support himself and slept at a Beis HaMedrash not far from the yeshiva. Seeing that the great Goin showed such an interest in him, Baruch told him that his purpose in coming to the Brisk Yeshiva was not only to study Torah, but because he wanted to learn the best way of Avodas Hashem, the best way of serving God, and he hoped and believed that here he would find what he was seeking. He told the Goin that for 6 months he had been taking upon himself certain penances, certain tshuvas, going into the woods and fields and pouring out his soul to God in solitude and tears. Despite the hours he spent in this manner, he had not neglected his studies, he told Rav Shlomo. For while I was at the yeshiva in Vyazhen, the principal, Rabbi Shol, was so pleased with my progress that he placed me in a class of select students where I was the youngest. But although I was gratified at his praise, something inside me called for a different environment where I could find a better means of expressing myself in my desire to serve God. When the month of Elul came, Baruch continued, I took upon myself further penances and spent still more time in solitude and silent contemplation, studying as hard as I could. When I came upon the Sefer Maris Elohim, I was absolutely awestruck at the secrets it seemed to hold, which were too deep for me to comprehend. I enlisted the help of two of my fellow students, but although the three of us studied hard to get at the meaning, we failed. My two friends gave up the struggle, but I, on the contrary, felt moved to greater efforts. I fasted and I prayed that I be worthy to study and understand the secrets of this holy book, and at the same time, I looked for someone who could teach me and help me to understand what my heart yearned for, and what I felt was contained in this precious piece of work. And when I heard of your yeshiva, Rebbe, and about you, I felt that here was the solution to my problem. I then immediately set off for Brisk on foot, struggling along through town and village, tired, sick, and weary, yet buoyed up by the hope that eventually I would reach you and find the answer to my prayers. Baruch looked up to see if he were not wearying the Goyen with his long narrative, but Rav Shlomo reassured Baruch by saying encouragingly, "Continue, son, with your story." "Now, thank God I am here," Baruch continued, "and I humbly wait until you will find me worthy of teaching me the best way of serving the Almighty. That is my reason for coming here. Yet I did not dare approach you until you sent for me." Baruch looked appealingly at the Goyen, who had listened to him throughout with the greatest attention and interest. Baruch felt that the Goyen could see right through him as he looked at him. Would the great man think him worthy enough of taking him into his class, or would he consider him too young for such advanced studies? Such were the thoughts that were going through Baruch's mind. Baruch felt as if he were standing before a court of judgment, and the verdict meant so much to him and his future way of life that he suddenly burst into tears, the sobs escaping him involuntarily from the depths of his soul. "Why are you crying, my boy?" asked the Goyen sympathetically. "After all, you have reached the place you were making for, and you are definitely on the right road of serving Hashem in the best way possible." Baruch opened his mouth to speak. There was so much he wished to say. He wanted to tell Reb Shlomo that his soul was yearning for a guide and teacher to direct him and help him express himself, someone like the Goyen, and how happy he was to have reached him at last. But Baruch was so overcome with emotion that the words just stuck in his throat, and Baruch remained speechless. Reb Shlomo looked at Baruch thoughtfully and kindly and said to him, "Come to me again tomorrow evening after Maariv." Baruch left the Goyen's room by a back door so that nobody should see him. He could not tell us yet what the decision of the Goyen Reb Shlomo would be. It meant so much to Baruch that the decision should be a favorable one that he took upon himself as a tshuva, as a penance, to fast for 72 hours. 72 representing the letters of Chesed, Ches Samach Dalet, which has the numerical equivalent of 72, the 72 being the letters of Chesed, kindness, the numerical equivalent. It was Baruch's devout hope and prayer that the Almighty would make him appear worthy in the eyes of the Goyen, so that the Goyen would accept him as a Talmud and open up the pathways of Avodas Hashem. Baruch also took upon himself not to sleep during these 72 hours, nor to speak to anyone. He spent all night at the Beis Medrash in prayer and Torah study, and by morning a wave of weakness overtook him for which he could not account. He was so used to such fasting that could hardly be the reason. He decided that this weakness was due to the weakness of his character. So he prayed with all his heart and soul and might that God would have pity on him and make him pure. Baruch felt much easier after this outpouring of his soul and went into the garden of the Beis HaMedrash to refresh himself. He spent all day in Torah and prayer as if in preparation for the greatest moment of his life to hear the decision of the Gaon Rav Shloima. At long last, the crucial moment arrived. The Shamash of Avram Shol came up to Baruch and whispered that he was now to go into Rav Shloima's room. Baruch felt himself go absolutely weak in the knees, and his whole body trembled with apprehension. But he quickly recovered, and as he walked slowly and respectfully into the room of the Gaon, the welcoming smile and friendly words of Rav Shloima filled him with encouragement. Baruch felt that he could not have hoped for any greater welcome or friendlier attitude, for surely this was that of a father welcoming his dear son. Rav Shloima wanted to know which parts and which chapters of the books of Avodas HaKodesh from Ram ben Gabai, Rabbi ben Gabai, and Reishis Chochma from Rabbi Yo Dividash Baruch had studied. Baruch told him that in Reishis Chochma he had studied Shar HaYira, the Gate of Fear, and was up to chapter 14. And in Avodas HaKodesh he had gone through all the 44 chapters of the second part. He added that he had worked terribly hard to try and understand what he had been studying, but he had to admit that most of it was not yet clear to him. "Who gave you permission to undertake such difficult studies?" asked the Gaon. "You know it is written, 'Asei lecha rav,' make for yourself, get yourself a teacher, so that people should be discouraged from doing everything just on their own judgment. Even studying should be supervised, for as in this case, one could be delving into books which were beyond one's comprehension, with the only result of taking one's time away wastefully from Torah study." Rav Shloima also knew that Baruch had taken upon himself a new fasting period of 72 hours and new penances. He therefore told Baruch he could be absolved of this oath if he promised never again to undertake such studies without the authority and supervision of an expert teacher. "Our sages tell us," said the Gaon to Baruch, "that our evil inclination is something of an artist and knows exactly how to reach us in the weak spot where we are most susceptible. It can therefore happen that even when we are striving to do the mitzvah of serving Hashem, serving God, our evil inclination gets into it somehow and tries to turn it into a sin." The Shloima further tried to explain to Baruch that the evil inclination need not necessarily attempt to prevent a person from doing a good deed, from performing a mitzvah, or try to persuade him actually to commit a sin. It might encourage a person to take upon himself fasts and penances in order to persuade him that he think of himself as a very great saint, and in making him think he is above everyone else in moral stature, thereby succeed in lowering the moral caliber of the individual instead of these fasts and penances raising it as it should be. From Rab Shlomo's words, Baruch could see that Rab Shlomo was possessed of supernatural powers. How else could he have known about Baruch's intention to take upon himself a fast of 72 hours duration with new penances? Nobody had told Rab Shlomo. Baruch had shared this secret with no one at all. And in every way he acted, as if he could clearly read Baruch's thoughts. He even knew about his horrible night of temptation at the house of the widow, and of his remorse and regret, which led him to a life of penances and fasting, so that his mind and heart be purified. Rab Shlomo continued, "It has been decreed in heaven that you find the right way to serve Hashem," he assured Baruch. "You have great merit and will ascend the ladder of virtue and good deeds. It has all been made ready for you." Baruch listened in growing wonderment. He was filled with a feeling which at once thrilled and awe-inspired him. He had not expected to hear such words from this great man who represented for him the acme of perfection. "And now," continued the Gaon, "if you will agree to the conditions which I shall put to you, I will, with Hashem's help, teach you how to serve God. What I demand of you is that your conduct, your study, and your prayers shall all be sincere. You must always be modest in every way, and above all, my main condition is that you keep the entire matter secret. No one must know this, that I am teaching you anything special, nor that you are under my special care." "I gladly agree to all you say," Baruch hastened to reply eagerly. "I am ready to do anything, if only you will teach me the right way to serve God." It was the rule at this yeshiva that when any student was called to the Gaon, and when he emerged from his presence, all the students would greet him as he came out of Reb Shlomo's room with a hearty and unanimous cry of Mazel Tov. It was a rare event indeed for the Gaon to call anyone, and a rarer event still for the person to be a new student. Baruch had managed to keep his first visit to the Gaon secret, but somehow this time the news must have leaked out, for they were all there waiting for Baruch as he came out, ready to wish him a hearty Mazel Tov. Baruch recalled how Yechiel Gershon, one of the best students at the yeshiva, was once honored by being called to the Gaon, and when he came out of his room, all the students demanded to know what Talmudic discourse he had held forth for the Gaon, and what Rab Shlomo had told him. On another occasion, he was present when the most outstanding student at the yeshiva, one named Shmuel Gedalia of Pinsk, a real genius, they said he was, came out of the Gaon's room. It was believed that he was a comparatively frequent visitor of Rab Shlomo, and this was considered exceptional, for the times that the Gaon called any student to his room were few and far between. Shmuel Gedalia's repetition of his pilpul and the tear that he had repeated from the Gaon had greatly impressed Baruch. And now, here was young Baruch coming out of the great man's presence with no idea at all as to what he could reply to the waiting students when they asked him the usual questions. The other students were rather astonished that Baruch, the youngest and one of the newest students at the yeshiva, should have been so honored. There had been another occasion when a new student had been summoned to the Gaon. Though many of the students had been at the yeshiva for 2 and even 3 years and had not yet had that honor. The other new student had been a very shy young lad who positively hid himself away from the sight of people. They later learned that he was the son of a very great tzaddik, but was now doubly orphaned. When the boy came away from his talk with Rab Shlomo, the shyness had vanished, and he was entirely different in his attitude and behavior. Eventually, he became one of his best students at the yeshiva, and everyone was very proud of him. There was another case where a student who had been at the yeshiva but a few weeks was also called to the Goyim. This boy had proved that he had a remarkably good brain and was showing excellent progress in his studies. But sad to relate, his character left much to be desired. He was a glutton regarding his food, was very conceited, had a frightful temper, and thought nothing of telling lies. He had many other faults in addition. But the remarkable thing was that after he had been invited to the Goyim, the change in the boy was just unbelievable to anyone who did not see it for himself. He was completely altered in his ways and habits and became one of the most respected and brilliant students of the yeshiva. Baruch decided he must keep to the truth without breaking his promise to the Goyim to keep their arrangement secret. So when the students demanded to know what had transpired, he told them that he had come to the Brisk Yeshiva because he had heard of their Goyim's greatness, and having seen his saintliness for himself, there was awakened in him the opportunity and the urge to repent for his past sins. And having had the occasion and the opportunity of being admitted into the presence of the Master, he had been lectured on the importance of truth and modesty, both being a necessary preparedness for the sincere service of God. Baruch also repeated a few of the lessons he had learned from a study of Reishis Chochma and Avodas HaKodesh, which made quite an impression upon his listeners. Thus, Baruch managed to get out of the difficult position in which he found himself without telling untruths or divulging the fact that the Goyim had promised to give him special attention and to teach him individually special tuition. On his way back to the Beis HaMedrash, Baruch went over in his mind all that the Goyim had said to him, and came to the sad conclusion that the reason Rav Shlomo had stressed the importance of being modest and truthful must be because he had found him wanting in both respects. This grieved Baruch very much, and he cried bitterly in the privacy of the Beis HaMedrash that night. He remembered that his elder brother had told him that if one washed one's face in one's tears, not only was the face cleansed, but also one's mind and heart. This Baruch did, calling himself liar, arrogant one, and then felt better. It also heard it said that the old Porush, Zalman Chaim Shraga, who had lived for 70 years as a Porush, as a hermit, that every night he poured out his soul in tears and prayer, and cleansed himself by washing his face with the tears he had gathered in his hands. It was also said that this was the reason that the old Zalman Chaim Shraga lived to be 100 years old, and yet he had the appearance of a man of 60. Other people used to fast and shed tears of repentance for their sins, and would then break their fasts by dipping some bread into their tears, and in the eating thereof they would feel that they were cleansed of their wrongdoing. The rest of this tale of Rav Baruch in his stay in Brisk and what happened to him afterwards and how eventually he became a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, in the coming installments.